Okay, today's daf is Bambasu Daf Pei Aleph. We left off in Daf Pei Amid Beis. Before we begin, just want to dedicate today's learning to Zecher Nishmas Harav Yisrael Aryeh Ben Harav Shmuel Tzvi Prero. The neshama should have an aliyah. We left off 11 lines from the bottom on Daf Pei Amid Beis. We were in the middle of discussing when you buy a tree, but not to buy the tree itself, but you buy the right to cut the tree, not the right to cut it permanently, that it shouldn't grow back, just the right to cut what's there now, but the mocher intends that his tree should grow back, so how much do you have to leave of the tree in the hopes that the tree is able to regenerate itself? So the Mishnah, so we have quoted that B'tekel and Ba'arazim, the Brice had said that when you're dealing with a Dekel or a Razim, Chofer Meshare Shalfi She'en Gizan Machlif, it doesn't matter, you can cut the whole thing out anyway, because there's no, once he's selling you any of it, once you lop off the top of it, it's never growing back anyhow, so it doesn't make a difference, so you might as well take out all the Shrashim, you couldn't be able to take everything. So Fretli Gemara, the Erez in Gizan Machlif, is that true that an Erez tree does not regenerate itself? V'hadarish Rabbi Barlu Laini Maidich Siv Tzadik Hatamri Yifrach Ke'erez Valvonin Yiske. What does it mean that we compare a tzaddik to a tamar, and we compare a tzaddik to an erez valvanon, to the arzel vanon? Say nomar tamar lamanamar erez nomar erez lamanamar tamar. Why do we have to compare a tzaddik to both kinds of trees, to a tamar and to an erez? What's the unique element of each of those that relates to a tzaddik? So says the Gemara, Ilu Namar Erez Velo Namar Tamar, if it only would have compared a tzaddik to an Erez and not to a Tamar, Hayis Yomar Ma Erez Ein Ose Peros, Av Tzaddik Ein Ose Peros. I would say an Erez, a cedar tree, doesn't make fruits. What does it do? What do you use a cedar tree for? It's for its wood. It grows really tall and really strong wood, but it doesn't produce fruits. So I would say that just like an Erez does not produce Peros, if I would have compared a tzaddik exclusively to an Erez, I would have said a tzaddik doesn't make Peros either. Lekach nemar tamar. That's why we want to compare the tzaddik to a tamar as well, to a date tree that obviously produces beautiful fruits. Now, what does it mean we would have a mina that a tzaddik doesn't make peros? What kind of peros are we talking about? So says Rosh Bam, Av tzaddik, eino se peros sha'ochel tzidkosav ba'olam hazeh, ve'ein lo chelek li'olam haba. That we would think that a tzaddik, yes, he gets to enjoy his tzidkos, and he enjoys the benefits of his tzidkos in olam hazeh, but he's not going to have anything beyond what's here in this world. Inami she'in ma'achilin oso prima lalav, l'kach nemar tamar, that's why we have tamar, t'chsiv nami krachrina, imu tzadik kitov ki prima aleim yochelu. Okay, fine. V'im nomar tamar, and if it would have said tamar v'lo nemar erez, and it didn't say erez, what would I have thought? Hayis yomar ma tamar ein gizo machlif, af tzadik ein gizo machlif. I would say, just like a tamar does not regenerate itself after when you cut off the top, so to a tzadik will not be able to regenerate himself. Lekach nemar erez. That's why it says erez, to show that just like an erez does regrow, so to a tzaddik will regrow. What does it mean that tzaddik's going to regrow? So says Rosh Bam, Av tzaddik ein gizel machlif imes shlo yolid ben kamoso. That when he dies, that his child will be like him. So I might have thought that if we compare a tzaddik to a tamar, I would say that when a tzaddik is gone, he's not going to have children that are just like him to take his place. Inami im yipol lo yakum. Or what it might mean that he doesn't regenerate himself is that he won't react. He won't react well to setbacks. That when he falls, he's not going to easily get back up again. And therefore, it comes to tell me that no, he's also like an erez, and just like an erez regrows, so to the tzaddik, depending which day in the Rosh Hashanah you go, like either will have children that are like him, or will react in a positive way to setbacks and will be able to accomplish even after facing challenges. But the bottom line is, we just said that an erez doesn't regrow, and here we're saying the reason we compare a tzaddik to an erez is dafka because it does regrow. So says Gemara, over here we're talking about other types of arazim. Kidarava barafuna, meaning the tzaddik is compared to the erez balvanon, right? But when we say that an erez does not regrow, we're talking about other types of arazim. Kidarava barafuna, like Rav Barafuna taught us, Rav Barafuna amri beirav, yud mine arazim hein. There are actually 10 different types of arazim. Shenemar, pasuk says in Yishayahu, etein b'midbar erez shita v'hadas v'eitz shaman asim ba'arava b'rosh titar v'sashru yachtav. Right, that's the So the Gemara is going to go through each word in the pasuk to show that it's a different kind of tree, a different kind of erez tree. Erez is arza, shita turnisa, hadas is asa, eitz shemen is aparsima. Right, it's the wood of oil is a parsima. Barosh barsi, titar is shaga, vitashur is shravina. So you see, each word in the pasuk refers to a different type of eris tree. You see, there are all these different types of eris trees. I'm not going to translate because I don't know what they are myself. But okay, you get the idea. They're all trees. So frankly, Gemara, that's not 10. Hani zayin havi. That's 7. That's not 10. So kiyasav dimi amar hosifa alehen. Okay, so you have to add a few more. Alunim, almunim, and almugim. There are three more types. There are alunim, almunim, and almugim. Alunim are butni, almugim are bluti. No, almunim are bluti, and almugim are kasisa. So now you add those three, and you have 10 types of eretz trees. Ikadamri, arugim, armunim, almugim. Some say no, the three types of trees you add are arugim, armunim, and almunim. What's that? Arugim are ari, armunim are dulvi. Almugim are kasisa, whatever it means. These are different types of trees. So 10 types of eres trees. Some are gizomachlif, some are not gizomachlif. We don't compare a tzaddik stam to an eres. We compare a tzaddik to an eres balvanon. The arze alvanon are assumed to be gizomachlif, and that's why the tzaddik is compared dafka to the arze alvanon as opposed to any other type of eres tree. It could be that that's why we dafka chose the arze alvanon, meaning because to highlight the fact that that's what we're emphasizing, right? That it's like the arze halavanon as opposed to other arazim. Otherwise, there are so many qualities that a tree has. How do we know what we're emphasizing when we compare a tzaddik to a tree? It's very difficult to tell. It could be referring to the height. It could be referring to the shade. It could be referring to so many different things. So we dafka want to pick the erez, which normally is not kizomachlif, and say, look, but we're not comparing him to any erez. We're comparing him to arze halavanon. And that sort of hints to us what quality we're looking for when we go out of our way to say that it's dafka, the arze halavanon, that the tzaddik is like. I mean David HaMelech in Tehillim Tzadi Beis, when he compares the tzaddik to the arze halavanon. Okay, says the Mishnah, Hakonah shnei ilanos b'toch stei chavero. If a person purchases two trees in his friend's field, harezel lo kana karka, so he does not get the karka along with those trees. He just purchases the trees. That's all he owns. He does not own any karka along with those trees. Rameir disagrees. He says kana karka. No, you buy two trees. That's enough. You get the karka as well along with the trees. Higdilu, going back to the Shita of the Tanakhama, since you're not kona the karka, if the trees overgrow, lo yishva, the bala karka is not allowed to cut them down. Right? Says the Rashbam, Higdilu urchivu anafim harbe, the branches grow very wide, lo yashva, lo yiktsososan bala karka, afal pishatsel rala beis hashlachin. Even though the shade is bad for your field, you're not allowed to cut it down. Why? Since you didn't sell him any land together with the tree, so obviously you were meshabed the fact that your land is going to be subject to having his tree in it, even when it's not so convenient. So there's no limit of how large the tree can grow. You were meshabed that your land is going to hold that tree, no matter how big it grows. If you had sold them land together with the tree, so then you could say, okay, you got to keep your tree within your land that I've sold you, and it shouldn't go over into my land. But since you did not sell the land together with the tree, so your entire land is meshubad to holding that tree, and therefore you're not allowed to trim that tree that you have sold. It doesn't belong to you anymore. Va'ola min hageza shelo, umin hashrashim shel bal hakarka, and that which grows up from the stump of the tree, and that which grows from the roots of the tree, belongs to the bal hakarka, because the bal hakarka kept all of the karka, and therefore, since that those parts of the tree are considered karka, they're considered to be the karka, they're not considered to be the ilan. So therefore, the bal hakarka gets to keep it. V'imesu ein lo karka, and if the trees die, if the trees dry out, so the person who bought the tree does not have any karka in that field to plant another tree, because all he bought was karka. He did not. All he bought was a tree. He didn't buy karka. Now, what's the chiddush of that line? Right, why do you have to tell me emesu ein lo karka? Right, if we already said konish nei lanos ein lo karka. We got it. What do you think ein lo karka means? Ein lo karka means that you don't own the land permanently. All you own is the tree. So obviously, if the tree dies, You don't own, you don't have the right to plant another tree. It's not your karka. What's the chiddush of that line? So the Ran suggests that the chiddush is that you might have thought that when you're kona the tree, that you're kona the right to the exact spot that the tree is on as well. Meaning you don't have any karka misaviva ilan, anywhere around the tree. But the right to always have a tree on that spot of karka, you might have thought that you were also kona. Kamash Milan, that you don't have that right either. Says Mishnah Vayter, that's up until now we've been talking about if you bought two trees in somebody else's property. Kana Shlosha, what if you buy three trees in somebody else's property? Then Kana Karka. Then everyone would agree, even Tanakama would agree, that you're Kana Karka, that you then own the Karka along with those three trees. And therefore, Higdilu Yashva, therefore if the tree overgrows, the guy who owns the field is allowed to say, look, it's growing outside beyond your karka, and therefore I'm going to cut it down. And he's also allowed to, shalom, and that which comes from the gezen, from the shrushin, that which grows out of the stump and the roots, belong to the guy who bought the tree, because he not only bought the tree, he gets karka together with the tree. V'imesu, and if the tree dies, yeshlo karka. He's allowed to plant another tree in its place. He's yeshlo karka. Again, the Ran has to deal with the question has to be dealt with. What's the chiddush of imesu yeshlo karka? If you already taught me that kana shlosha ilanos kana karka, so you could say very similar to what we said before that it says imesu yeshlo karka, even though it already said kana gimel ilanos kana karka, because you might have thought kana gimel kana karka is only while the trees are still there. But in Mesu, you would think that ain't no karka. So the Mish comes to tell me that no, you bought karka not just to be meshubah to the trees, you bought karka li'ola, that you have that karka forever, even if they die, you can plant other trees in the place, in their place. Now when we say kana shlosha kana karka, you buy three trees, then you have the karka with it. So is that dafka with any type of, is that dafka certain types of trees? Or is that for any type of tree? When you buy three little tiny trees, three bonsai trees or something, so really karka, all the karka comes along with it? What's the definition of a kana ilanos, kind of an ilan, lagabi this halacha, that when you have three trees, you automatically must own the karka in its area as well? So Ben Yonah writes that the Mishnah, when it says kana ilanos kana karka, is only by large trees, that ilanos is mashma gedolim, but small trees, like we had earlier in the Masechta, sha'ol habakar kovesh osam, where the yoke is going to be able to bend the tree, because the tree is still so young and so soft, and you can't use a rope to climb the tree, because it's so soft, are not considered ilanos, and such ilanos, you would not be kona the karka together with them. Even if, and that would turn out that, even if you buy trees when they're very young, and then later on they grow really big and tall, so you might think, well, at this point he should for sure own the karka. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, since at the time that you bought it there were tiny trees, and when you buy tiny trees, karka does not go along with it. So even if it grows very big afterwards, we go after the Shas Mechira. The Shas Mechira, these were not considered ilanos. The Rabbeinu Yonah asks, why aren't we choshesh that when the ilanos grow bigger, that you're going to come and say, look, I must own the karka because I own these three gigantic trees in your field. Yishun will be choshesh that the guy's going to be able to pull some sort of shtick like that, that he'll buy the trees when they're very young. And the halach is he does not get the karka. And then later on, when they grow big, he's going to say, ah, you see, it's my trees, they're so big, I must own the karka in between. So he says, we're not choshesh for this because it's the mocher who has himself to blame. Meaning he knows he's selling small trees, he knows trees grow, and therefore he should make sure that there are edim at the sale, or that there's a shtar written up that says explicitly exactly what's included and what's not included in the sale. From the fact that he chose not to do that, that's his own fault, so he has only himself to blame. The Rambam, however, disagrees with this. The Rambam doesn't agree with Rabbi Yonah's whole premise. He says when you sell three ilanos betoch sadeu, even if it's three netios ketanos, or three bade ilan, no matter how small the trees are, the character goes along with it. The Rambam learns it. He says that's the lashon of the Mishnah. It says kana gimel ilanos kana karka. It doesn't say any size limit. So just pashtus gimel ilanos means any size tree is going to be considered an ilan. And therefore the Rambam holds that there is no size limit in our Mishnah. No matter how small the trees are, you're kana the karka together with it. Another interesting machlokas Rishonim. We said higdilu yashva, that if they, since you sold the karka to the lokeach with the tree, so if the tree overgrows, you're allowed to trim it so it doesn't damage your field. So the Rishonim have machlokas. What do you mean, overgrows? Grows How far? What's considered overgrowth? If it grows any bigger than it is right now, I'm allowed to trim it. What exactly does that mean? So Ben Yonah writes that Higdilu Ilanos Afilu Ma'at, meaning even if it grows very little, even if it grows just a tiny bit more, and even if it's not even growing beyond the shear of Mlo Ora Vesalo, right, which is normally the shear that we assume is associated with the tree, the amount of space you need to carry your basket as you're picking fruits from the tree. Even if it didn't grow that far, still the mocher is allowed to cut down the tree. That's the Shita Rabbeinu Yonah. Numuka Yosef disagrees. Numuka Yosef says, no, the din of Higdilu, that the mocher is allowed to cut it down, is only if the anafim grow out beyond the shear of Mlo Ora Vesalo. Then we could say that that's no longer associated with the tree, and therefore the mocher is allowed to cut it down. The Rambam's Shita is not so clear. The Machlokas between the Mefarshei HaRambam, what the Rambam holds regarding this, how much the tree has to grow out before you have the right to cut it down. Okay, says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Bikurin. So what we need to take out of our Mishnah is that if you buy two trees, the Tanakama holds you don't get karka with it. Rameir holds you do get karka with it. So now they take that, but three trees, everyone agrees you get karka with it. So now take that and compare it to the Mishnah Bikurim. Tanan Hasam, Hakone Shnei Ilanos B'Tok Shel Chavero. If a person buys two trees within his friend's property, maybe Ve'eno Kore. He brings Bikurim, but he doesn't read the Parshas Bikurim. Why doesn't he read the Parshas Bikurim? Because in the Parshas Bikurim you say, Pri-Adama Asher Nasatali. These are the fruits of the ground that you have given me, of the land that you have given me. Well, if you don't own the land, you only own the trees, it's not the land that you have given me, so you can't say such a Parsha, you can't say such a thing, Pri-Adama Asher Nasatali. What do you see? Tanakama clearly holds that when you buy two trees, you do not own the karka, because you can't be kore, because you don't own the karka. Rameir says, maybe v'kore. Absolutely, you can be maybe v'kore. There's no problem. Why? Because Rameir holds when you buy two trees, you do own the karka. Perfect so far, right? That's exactly what our Mishnah says. The same machlok as Tanakama and Rameir. Amar Rav Yudah Bar Shmuel, so Rav Yudah Bar Shmuel comes and qualifies Rameir a little bit. Mechayef hayu Rameir af lokeach peros min hashuk. Rameir not only is mechayev you in havas and kriyas bikurim when you buy two trees in someone else's property, even if you just buy a bunch of fruit, you don't even need to buy a single tree. Even if you just buy a bunch of fruit from the shuk, and there happens to be someone that the guy who's selling it tells you, by the way, these are bikurim fruits, even then you would have to be maybe v'kore. There's a big discussion. If you look, there's the Bach Nos Aleph changes the girsa. He says, come on, peros min hashuk, impossible. Can't be that peros min hashuk would be maybe v'kore. Says the Bach, af lokech peros ha'ilan mimai kein sarach lamar v'tevos min hashuk nimchak. Take out the words min hashuk. He says, what's the chiddush of Rav Yudah Bar Shmuel? That a remeir would be mechayiv even if you bought one tree. That's the point. Not that even if you buy it min hashuk. It can't be that if you buy it min hashuk that would be good enough. The Ritva quotes our Gerson and says, no, some hold even if you buy it min hashuk, it would be good enough. But the Rifa asks, why when you buy peros min hashuk would you be chayv bikurim? The Mishnah says, the Mishnah in Bikurim describes how you do the mitzvah of Bikurim. So what does the Mishnah say? Ketzad mitzvahs Bikurim. The Mishnah says, how does one go about doing the mitzvah of Bikurim? Yored Adam letoch sadehu. It starts with going into your field, viroa ta'ena, you see a fig that's right, that should be shabikra, kosher begami, you tie a little string around it, v'omer harei'elu bikurim, and you say, that's bikurim. Well, if that's how you do bikurim, how can you be chayiv in bikurim when you buy a fruit from the market, when you buy a fruit from the store? If that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to go into your field, find the fruit, tie a thing around it, and bikore shem bikurim. So how can you say that it's bikurim, even when you buy it from the market? So the Ritva says, yeah, that's the mitzvah minimum of her, certainly, is to catch it that early, and to call it bikurim, have a kriya shem bikurim from that stage. But it's not ma'akev. Samakiv the mitzvah. It could be that you're mekayim the mitzvah even at a later stage, even if you just buy it from the shuk. It could also be that the Ritva also says that Mishnah is only l'shitas Rabbanan, right? The Rabbanan who hold that you need to own the land in order to be chayiv in Bikurim. Rameir holds that even if you, meaning the Rabbanan who hold you need to own at least three trees in order to own the land in order to be chayiv in Bikurim. Rameir obviously has a much lower standard, so maybe Rameir won't define the mitzvah in that way of going down into the field, identifying the fruit, putting a string on the fruit. Maybe Rameir doesn't hold of all that. Maybe that Mishnah is not going like Rameir. Those are the two possibilities the Ritva has. But either Either way, Rav Meir's standard is certainly a lot lower. Either the Bach Skir said that even if you only own one tree, you would bring Bikurim from that tree, and in our Girsa, even if you buy trees from the market. Mimai, where do we get that from? Where do we get this idea that you're going to be Chayv Bikurim and with such little ownership of land, without owning any land? Midiktani Mishnah Yisera, because there's an extra Mishnah. Why? Michti, Tanalei Diyesh Lekarka, Pshita Demevi Vikore. Meaning, the Mishnah in Bikurim so parallels our Mishnah that it makes it's such an exact parallel that it's a question. Why do we need both Mishnayos? Our Mishnah says Beferish that if you buy three trees, you own the karka. Rav Meir holds even if you buy two trees, you own the karka. Why would the Mishnah in Bikurim then have to tell me, hey, if you buy three trees, you got to bring Bikurim? Of course, and your Kore. Of course, that's exactly our Mishnah. Once you own the land, of course you may be Vikore. What's the Chiddush? Why would we need both Mishnayos? Ella must be Shema Mina Mechayev HaYirameir Af Belokeach Peros Minashuk. It must be that Rameir is Mechayev even if you just buy Peros Minashuk. That's the Chiddush. That the Chiddush is that the Mishnah is coming to add something more. That it's coming to add that even when you when all you did is bought Peros Minashuk, that you're still going to be Chayev and Bikurim. Aye, but wait a second, is that even shaykh? That when you buy peros from the shuk, you chayv mikurim? Isn't that against the pesukim in the Torah? V'aksiv asher tavi mei artzecha. Pasuk says, where do you bring bikurim from? Mei artzecha. Well, if you don't own the land, you don't even know where the land is. You go into the supermarket and you buy peros, you don't even know where these peros came from, let alone own it. How can you say that's mei artzecha? What does mei artzecha mean then? So answers the Gemara, ha'hula mutei chutz la'aretz. No, mei artzecha is in the much broader sense, in the global sense. Mei artzecha means from the land that belongs to all Jews, from Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to peros of chutz la'aretz, there would not be any havas bikurim. That's all it's saying. It doesn't mean that it has to be your personal land. It just means it has to be land of Eretz Yisrael. Frek Tosfos, really, I need a pasuk to tell me that bikurim is only from fruits of Eretz Yisrael? Aren't all fruit and grain related mitzvos and vegetable related mitzvos only tlius ba'aretz, and therefore only no heges ba'aretz? Isn't that a mission in kiddushin? Frek tells us deeper maskla who amayis rich miuta. Hamar b'sof parakamid the kiddushin says beferish in kiddushin lamed vav kol mitzvah she tlius ba'aretz ain't no heges el ba'aretz. Any land related mitzvah is only knowing in Eretz Yisrael. So Shemitah is only in Eretz Yisrael. But right, all these halachos, trumos, maestros, chala, all those things are only in Eretz Yisrael. Why would Bikurim be any different? Why do I need a special pasuk by Bikurim to tell me that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael? The pasuk it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So it tells us the Yisrael, Mefarshim Yishim, the Bikurim iskashu lebasar b'chalav. Unbelievable. He says, because the Torah is makish Bikurim to basar b'chalav. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, Reishis Bikurim ad mascha, and then Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha, and then what's the end of that same pasuk? Lo sevashal gadi b'chalev imo. Right, it says right away in that same pasuk about bringing bikurim, it says, by the way, don't have basar b'chalav. So mechilta behedim akishlu, and the medrash associates them explicitly. And therefore, I might have thought to derive from basar b'chalav that why is the Torah being makish bikurim to basar b'chalav must be that it's coming to teach me that just like basar b'chalav is knowing bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz, so too bikurim should be knowing bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. That's why I need an extra pasuk to tell me that no, bikurim is only knowing ba'aretz Yisrael, it's not knowing b'chutz la'aretz. That's one approach in Tosfos. Second approach in Tosfos, ula rashba nira, not the rashba that we refer to as rashba. This is the rashba, the Tosfos rashba, the separate sefer actually, they publish on Ksubis called Tosfos rashba and some sechtos. Ula rashba nira, to lo chashivi bikurim mitzvah t'liya ba'aretz. That Bikurim is not called the mitzvah to Baretz. To lo dami l'truma ma'isav v'chala. He says Bikurim is fundamentally different than trumas ma'isav v'chala. To hasam guf ha'peros mechuyavim b'truma. When it comes to trumas ma'isav v'chala, the peros themselves are chayav in truma. From the moment they grow, from the moment they sprout, they are defined already as tevel, from which truma needs to be taken. The tevel nidhu v'asur v'achila, they're asur to eat from the moment they grow. L'kach hashuvin in tliyin ba'aretz. So that's going to be called a mitzvah tliyin ba'aretz. Aval bikurim, in a chiyuv tali b'peros. When it comes to bikurim, the chiyuv is not in the peros, el ba'adam. It's not a chiyuv in the cheftza, it's a chiyuv in the gavra, says Tosfos. Right? If you never take bikurim, are those peros bikurim? Are those peros tevel for bikurim? No, those peros are just regular peros. You're allowed to eat them. You have a mitzvah to make bikurim, but until you make bikurim, they're not bikurim. Whereas when it comes to chumas and maizos, the fruits from the very moment they grow are already going to be, well, they're not actually tevel till the miruach hakri, but the point is you're not allowed to eat them. They already have an isra achila. You don't have to identify them as chuma in order to give them qualities of chuma. This may relate to Rav Yosef Engel as a piece discussing what the isra of tevel is. Is the isra of tevel that each and every fruit has a shtick chuma in it because you didn't take chuma yet, so there could be a little bit of chuma in each and every fruit, or it's a separate iser that there's an iser called tevel, and then once you take off the truma, that's truma, and the iser of tevel goes away. It's not associated with the iser of truma, but that may relate to how it becomes chayiv in truma. Does it happen automatically, or is it something that you do? Tosfos clearly assuming it's something that happens automatically. And he even mentions va'od mi v'lo chayiv truma ma'aser hashis marech b'kri muchach shachiv tali b'peros l'fi shlo higia adayin zman chiyuvan al bikurim v'adei chovas aguf ninu kavod zara. He says bikurim is a chovas aguf. It's not tali b'peros, it's tali ba'adam, and therefore it's not a mitzvah tali ba'aretz, and therefore I would have a havamina bikurim applies even to chutz la'aretz. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. What does Tosfos compare it to? Look at the last two lines of Tosfos. V'afal gav d'imein lo einu chayiv liknos. Wait, if it's a chavas haguf, what does chavas haguf mean? Tefillin's a chavas haguf. So if I don't have tefillin, what do I have to do? Go buy myself a pair of tefillin. Luv and esrog. If I don't have one, I gotta go buy myself a luv and esrog and get the mitzvah. Let's say I don't have land. I don't have a tree. I don't have a fruit tree. So I have a mitzvah to go buy land that has a tree in it that grows fruit so that I can do the mitzvah bikurim? If it's a chavas haguf, it's not a chiv on the peros. It's my chiv, so it should be just like tefillin. I should have to go buy myself something that I could do the mitzvah. So it says, tells us, not like tefillin, it's more like tzitzis. Right? He says, we have such an example of a chavas haguf where you're not chayiv to go out of your way to do it. Even though if you don't have a beggar of dalet kanfos, you're not chayiv in tzitzis, and no one ever requires you to go out and buy a beggar of dalet kanfos, but still it's a chavas haguf, right? It's still not a chiv on the beged, it's still a chavas haguf. It's just a chavas haguf that's only situational. Sometimes there are mitzvos, l'mashal, and this is not a perfect mashal, but l'mashal, there's a kikach yeshisha, right? The pasuk says that if a man marries a woman and it's not working out, so you should kasav la sefer krisus, you should write her a get. So what, you have a mitzvah to dafka marry a woman that you don't like so that you could do the great mitzvah of writing her a get? No, it's a situational mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that you do when it's appropriate, when one is in the situation where it's appropriate. Now, that would be an unfortunate situation. Over here, it's a fortunate situation. If you own a beged of dalet kanfos, fantastic. You're lucky enough to own such a beged. So then you have a chiyuv tzitzis. But if you don't own the beged of dalet kanfos, there's no chiyuv tzitzis. Similarly, you don't own karka with fruit trees. So don't bring bikurim. So you don't have any mitzvah to go out of your way to do it. Now it should be noted, we've pointed out on several occasions, right? The Gemara tells us in Menachos that even though there's no chiyuv to go buy a beggar of dalet kanfos to put tzitzis on it, v'idan ritcha, the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, he's going to look at how far out of our way we went for him. Meaning, how far out of our way do we go to do mitzvahs? So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, he's going to say, why, you couldn't spend the $5 or whatever it is to go buy a beggar of dalet kanfos and to be matil tzitzis, to put tzitzis on a beggar, to get an extra mitzvah, to chap an extra mitzvah. You couldn't do that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is therefore going to punish us for not doing it when he happens to be angry anyway. Meaning, tzitzis can help say, those types of mitzvahs that are beyond the letter of the law of what we have to go out of our way to do can help save us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. So l'chora, bikurim, according to Tosfos, would fit that category as well. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, again, we're saying, according to our mayor, how could it be that if you buy peros min hashuk, you're chayiv in bikurim? So the Gemara first asked, doesn't it say me'artzecha? So he said, no, me'artzecha just means as opposed to chutz la'aretz. So I asked the Gemara Vayter, vaksiv ad mascha. But it also says ad mascha. So answers the Gemara, lumutei ad mas akum. That comes to tell me, yeah, ad mascha, as opposed to land in Eretz Yisrael owned by a guy. that you don't have to bring Bikurim from land in Eretz Yisrael that's owned by a guy. But it's not telling me anything about you yourself having to own the land in order to be able to bring Bikurim. Nothing to do with it. It's just that if the land is owned by a guy, then you don't have to bring Bikurim. Says the Rashbam, he had a different girsa. He says, V'nir be'enai da'hachi garsinan. Two lines into Dibar Mask Lemute. He says, I think there's another girsa over here. V'aksiv ad-mascha shnei pa'amim. It doesn't say ad-mascha once. We're asking from the fact that it says ad-mascha twice. And Ksiv Rashis Bukre Ad Maska Besefer Vela Shmos, Bevela Hamishpatim, Ubchitisa, Ubchitisa, Vekamashani, Chad Lemute Ad Mas Akum, Vechad Lemute Ad Mas Ger. Right? One is to tell me, and the Gemara answers, one Ad Maska is to tell me land owned by a guy, you don't bring Bikurim from, and the other comes to tell me land owned by a Ger, you don't bring Bikurim from. That if you buy fruit from land that's owned by a ger, you don't bring Bikurim. Why? Hager atzmo min amevin v'lo karinu. Even the ger can't be kore the parshas habikurim. Because why can't he be kore the parshas habikurim? Shein yochel lomar asher nishba lavaseinu laseis lanu. He's unable to say that phrase. Asher nishba lavaseinu laseis lanu. Because it's not avos of shalger, the avos of shalger were gaib. So he can't say such a phrase. So if a ger himself can't be kore, when you bring fruit from the land of a ger, you have no chiv bikurim at all. Says Tosfos, ubechinam dochek atzmo. He quotes Rashbam and he says Rashbam was dochek bechinam to suggest that when you buy fruits from a ger's property that you don't have to bring bikurim. First of all, the chadan maskadashin parakam de bikurim, hanatea betok shalav behivruch betok shalchaver betok shalrabim, hareza eno mevi, mishum duchsev ad maska, al chiyu kala gedulame ad maska. He says, first of all, the extra ad maska is already taken care of in another Gemara. The Gemara has a separate trasha for it, that if you're mavrich into someone else's property, that it has to be entirely your land as opposed to growing in two lands, whatever, but the Gemara already takes care of it. The Gemara over here does not need to account for two ad maskas. It only needs to account for one ad maska. Fine. Va'od less than the mute lokech miger, keeping the ger atzmo bar havahu. What do you mean? What the Rashbam himself said that when a ger owns land, he does bring bikurim. He just doesn't read the parsha, right? But he does bring the bikurim. So you're going to say if you buy fruit from the land of a ger, you're not chayv bikurim? Why? Because when he brings, he doesn't read the parsha. What does one have to do with the other? He does bring Bikurim, so he is Chayvim Bikurim. So why should, when you buy the fruit, should it suddenly become Pater from Bikurim? Doesn't make any sense. The happens to be, he quotes Kedizan, the Mishnah says, Elam Avin Velokorin, the following people bring but do not read the Parsha. Hager Mevivein Okare, Lefishenu Yachal Amarsha Nishpalav Seinu Lasei Slanu. It says Tosos, by the way, that Mishnah, and this is the interesting Halach L'maisim, Mikoach Ahi Mishnah, Lohaya Maniach Rabbeinu Tam Legerim, Levarich Birchas Hazimun, Levishenu Yochel Lomar, Shinchat Alav Aseinu Eretz Tova. Based on that, Rabbeinu Tam said, a ger can't lead the benching, meaning the way benching would work normally, is one person would say it, and everyone would just listen and answer Amen, and be Yotzei Shemei Kona. A ger can't be the one to be Mvarech Birchas Hazimun. He can't be the one who benches. Why? Because he can't say Shinchat Alav Aseinu Eretz Tova, because it's not Avosav. Where does Rabbeinu Tam get that from? The Mishnah by Bikurim. Since he can't say it by Bikurim, he can't say it by benching either. Not only that, when he davens, Omer Elokei Avos Yisrael. Not Elokei Avosai, Elokei Avos Yisrael. Ukshum Yisrael Beis HaKnesses, when he's davening for the shul, for the tzibur, Omer Elokei Avoseichem. He has to alter the tefillah to fit his personal situation. V'im Haisi Imam Yisrael, Omer Elokei Avoseinu. But if he's Imam Yisrael, then he can say Elokei Avoseinu. Right, so the generally speaking, the halacha, by the way, is that continues until he's able to accurately say Avoseinu, meaning if both of his parents are gerim, so then he would, that those same halachas l'chorah should apply. Minchas Chinuch is mesubuk about that. Minchas Chinuch, when it comes to the isser of ona'as ager, that the Gemara B'Metzia Nunches says, you're not allowed to go tell a ger, oh, your father was a guy and whatever, and he ate nevelas and trefas and everything else, did all sorts of things, and that's, oh, or that same mouth that did, that ate nevelas and trefas is now going to learn Torah, that's crazy. You're not allowed to say mean things to a ger like that. You're not supposed to remind him of things like that. But the Minchas Chinuch is Mesupak, how far down does that go? Does that go? So the Minchas Chinuch says, but for sure, once he has one ancestor, one Jewish ancestor, then for sure it's over. right, then for sure he's no longer considered a ger in any respect whatsoever. So that would be the same over here, and even more so over here, where the whole key is he has to be able to say avoseinu. So as soon as he has a Jewish ancestor that was not a ben gerim, so he's able to say avoseinu. Ulurinir the shapi matziyamer ger lavoseinu. The Rishon says, nah, ger can say lavoseinu. It's no problem. V'lo kaimelon kaim mishnah. I, what do you do with the mishnah? We don't agree with that mishnah by Bikurim that the ger can't say it. Ela k'Rabbi Yehuda the palagala. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda who disagrees with that mishnah. Now where does Rabbi Yehuda come from? Because the pasuk says ki av hamon gaim. He all he has to refer to is Avram Avinu as his father. Avram Avinu is Avram Mon Gaim. He's the father of all of humanity. So there's no problem, says the Tosos, the Ri, with the Ger saying all these things, because he's also the child of Avram Avinu. It's interesting that the Rambam, when he formulates this halacha, right, the in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Dalet Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, Hager mevi v'kore, shnemer la'avram, av hamon gayim nesaticha, right, clearly the Rambam holds like the Ri, that we don't pass on like that Mishnah, that the ger is allowed to be mevi v'kore, hareyu av kola olam kulo, Avram Avinu is the father of the entire world, shenichnasim tachas kanfei hashchina, ula Avram haisa shvua tchila, sheyirshu banav esaretz. And by the way, remember, the first person that ever got the promise from God that his children are going to get Eretz Yisrael was Avram Avinu. What's the Rambam adding with that line? The Rambam already said that a ger is maybe v'kari because he's a child of Avram Avinu. Right? Why does he then have to add that Avram was the first one to get the Shavuah? So the Kesef Mishnah understands that it's an even though. That it means to say that Avram got the Shavuah first. Kesef Mishnah says that since Avram was the Avamon Goyim, so you might have thought that Eretz Yisrael was promised to his children should be given to all the other nations as well. So that's why the Rambam goes out and says, no, the Shavuah was that Avram that Yirshu Banav Es Haaretz before he became an Av L'Kol HaGoyim. Right, that happened before he became the Avamon Goyim. I mean, the Rambam is saying, yes, the Ger can say Avoseinu. Avram Avinu is called his father. But don't go too far with this idea. If you take this idea too far, you might think that the Goyim also have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Because if he's the Avamon Goyim and he's told that his children, anyone who's called a child of Avram Avinu, is going to get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, so you might have thought that all the Gerim, that all the Amim, all the other nations of the world also get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the Rambam has to go out of his way and say, no, remember, this happened tchila. The promise of Eretz Yisrael happened before he became the Avamon Gayim, and therefore not everyone gets a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. The Shagas Aryeh, the Minchas Chinuch, explain a little bit differently. That they say that the Rambam means to say, he means to be miyashiv, the question that Rishonim ask, how a ger can ever say, Asher nishbata lavaseinu laseis lanu, meaning, granted, Avram Avinu is Avamon Gayim. Avoseinu is plural, right? So it sounds like he has more than one father. Where does it ever say that Yitzchak and Yaakov are the avos of the gerim? Avram was Avamon Gayim. Yitzchak and Yaakov were not avoseinu. You can't say avoseinu. It's lashon Rabim, includes all the avos. So that's why the Rambam writes that we follow after Avram, that he was promised first Shabbat of Yerushal Saaretz, and Avram was the Avamon Gayim. And that's what the Rambam saying, that we're dafka trying to address that. That he's able to say avoseinu because it all starts with Avram, and therefore it doesn't mean only Avram, but it includes anyone who comes after as well. So that's the idea that the Rambam's trying to express. A little bit difficult to read into the words, but that's how the Shagas Aryeh and Chaschinuch try to explain. The Mishnah LeMelech asks, according to the Rambam, the Rambam just explains why Gerim are allowed to say Lavoseinu because they're called Bnei Avram. You could still ask, how can they say Laseis Lanu? Meaning the Avoseinu part is fine. What about Laseis Lanu? Gayim didn't take a chelik. Gayim don't get a chelik ba'aretz. Okay, so a lot of good kashas. There's a long discussion in Achronim about this issue. Okay, let's see Vayta though. So says Gemara, questions Gemara Vayter. Good, you took care of the word Me'artzucha, you took care of the word Admascha. But still, how can you be Chayiv and Bikurim on parents that you buy Minashuk, Vaksiv Asher Nasatali? Pasuk says, land that you have given me. Well, if it's not your land, how can you ever say it? So, Diavas Tizuziv Zavnibu. No, it's the peros that you have given me, and you, when you when you paid money for those payrolls and purchased them, they became yours. So there's nothing wrong with saying, this is the pre-hadama that you gave me. These are the payrolls that you gave me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all of our special gifts, all of our gashmis that we have. Even if we paid for it with our own money, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the money to pay for it. So that's appropriate to say Asher Nesateli, even though all we own is the payrolls. Fret the Gemara, Masiv Rabba, Hakoni Ilan B'tok Shal Chaver, Mevi Ve'nekori, L'vishalok HaNekarka Dev Rameir. Rameir holds, what if you buy one tree? So we have a beferish that if you buy only one tree, maybe ve'eno kore, because you were not kona karka. That's Rameir Shita. So bottom line is, we just said, Rav Yudam Shmuel said, that Rameir would say, even if you buy peros min hashuk, you're maybe ve'kore. And now we have beferish that if you buy a single tree, you're not kore, because you don't have karka. So whether you hold like the Bachskirs or Argus, the peros min hashuk, or buying a single tree, either way, you're not Kore. We said earlier you are Meviv Kore, and now we're saying you're not Meviv Kore. Tiyufta, so that's a Tiyufta on review Dama Shmuel. Fine, weiter. Armler Shimon and Yochanan of Lazar. My time in the Rameir be Ilan Echad, or my time in the Rabban Mishnei Ilanos. Meaning what it's asking is, what's this idea of Meviv Ve'eno Kore? What does that mean? Are you Chayiv in the mitzvah, or are you not Chayiv in the mitzvah? If you're Chayiv in the mitzvah, do the whole mitzvah. If you're not Chayiv in the mitzvah, don't do the mitzvah. You mean maybe, but you're not going to be kore. Right? Rosh Bam says, "Kivin deino kore mishum duksiv asher tovim mi'artzcha lama maybe hamayavan nami ma'ilekra." Same pasuk that tells me you shouldn't be kore should tell me you shouldn't be maybe either, right? And if you don't own land, it's not just that you can't read the parsha bikurim if you don't own land. It means you're not included in the parsha bikurim, and therefore you shouldn't have to be kore either. So what's going on over here? So amar lo davar sharishon lomru botam tshalinim beis hamedrash kedei levasheni. This is what, you're going to ask me such a kasha? You know that that kasha has been going around for years and years and no one's ever been able to give an answer. Why are you trying to embarrass me in public by asking me such a kasha like that? The Yerushalmi points out, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira, we were just discussing in Tuesday Night Shiur, Onas Devarim. Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira that part of Onas Devarim means saying anything that will make someone else feel bad. The Gemara gives many examples, but it really means saying anything that will make someone else feel bad. One of the examples the Rambam gives, it doesn't appear in a Gemara, it seems at least not to appear in a Gemara, is the Rambam says, if you know somebody does not know the answer to a question, don't ask them that question. Because it makes them feel bad if they're unable to tell you the answer to a question. Very similar to the example the Gemara does give of don't send someone to a store that you know doesn't sell a certain item and tell them that he can get that item in the store because he's going to ask the storekeeper for that item and the storekeeper's going to feel bad. No storekeeper wants to say, sorry, we don't carry that, because then he feels like he's losing business every time he has to say that. So you don't want to ever make a person feel bad. So the Rambam says you're not allowed to ask a person a question that he doesn't know the answer to. So the Achronim say, it's a nice example, it's true, it's for sure on us to find him, but where did the Rambam get that from? Why would he give an example that doesn't appear in Chazal? So says Yosemech, what do you mean? Appears right here. This is where it appears in Chazal, that you have the criticism. How can you ask me a question that you know people don't have the answer to, that you know people have been asking for a long time? You're just trying to humiliate me. Amar Rabba, my kushya. What's the big problem? Maybe the idea of maybe Venakori is we have a suffix whether you're chayv and bikurim. That Rameir, when you buy one tree, isn't sure whether you're chayv and bikurim. So you play it safe. Bring the bikurim, but don't read the parsha. So frankly, more me misafkale vaktani lefi shalom kranakarka divrei Meir. It doesn't sound like he's mesupuk. He says you're mevi ve'eno kore because you don't own karka. It doesn't sound like it's a suffik whether you do own karka or don't own karka and whether you're chayiv and bikurim or not. It sounds like he knows for sure. So says, well, okay, so you have to change that a little. Ema shema lo kranakarka. Just change the words a little, not to lefi shay lo karka, but shema lo kranakarka. If it's a suffake and you're bringing these bikurim misafek, how can you bring bikurim misafek? Isn't it chulun ba'azara when you bring bikurim misafek? Says Tosfos, it's dafka b'kol makom sheyesh ken akrava kiyacha. Definition of chulun ba'azara is only something that can normally be used on the mizbeach and is normally used in our avoda in the azara. But to stam, if I bring tissue box into the Azara, that's not called Chulim Ba'azara. Chulim Ba'azara is only something that's ra'ui lahakrava. It's a big machlokes rishonim, but that when the Rambam gives example of things that are Chulim Ba'azara, he says, you can't bring anything that's chulim into the Azara. You can't bring animals, you can't bring fruits, you can't bring bread. And the Achronim say, why does he give those examples? Fruits, bread, because those are all things that sometimes do belong in the Azara, right? But when they're chulim, that's when it's an issur to bring it into the Azara. Tos says, if it's something that can't be makrav at all, ever, then it's not even shaykh to talk about chulun bazara. Then it's not even an issue. But bottom line is, if you're only bringing this bikurim misafek, isn't it chulun bazara? And it says, where the makdish lu? No, you make it kadosh, right? You're makdish it also al tanai. You say, if it's bikurim, so good, it belongs here. And if it's not bikurim, it should be hagdish. And therefore, it belongs in the Azara anyway. But wait a second, big difference. If it's Hekdesh, you're not allowed to eat it. If it's Bikurim, the Kohanim are supposed to eat it. So, Deparaklehu, you redeem it also. The Kohanim will pay money to Hekdesh to redeem it. But wait a second, if it's not Bikurim, it's Chayv and Truma Meiser. So, how can you just make it Hekdesh? What about the Trumas and Meisros? The Mafresh Lehu, your Mafresh Trumas and Meisros. Okay, says Gemara, wait a second. Bishlam and Truma Gedol Yavla the Kohen. I understand your Mafresh Truma Gedol, that goes to a Kohen anyway, and the Bikurim go to the Kohen, so the Kohen's going to end up with all of it anyhow. Meisr Sheni Nami Yavla the Kohen. And if it's Meisr Sheni, there's nothing wrong with allowing a Kohen to eat the Meisr Sheni. That's great. Meisr Ani Nami Yavla the Kohen Ani. And you can always find a poor Kohen to take care of the Meisr Ani. But El Meisr Rishon to Levi Hu. But Meisr Rishon is supposed to go to a Levi. So what are you going to do with that? Meaning it's a suffix whether it's Chayv and Trumas Meisros. If it's Bikurim, it's not Chayv and Trumas Meisros, supposed to go to a Kohen. If it's not Bikurim, you have to give the Meisr Rishon to a Levi. So what do you do with the Meisr Rishon? So Leman Yavle, who are you going to give it to? Sansus Mar, the Yavle, the Kohen, Krablazar ben Azariah. You give it to a Kohen, like, along with the sheet of Krablazar ben Azariah, the Tanya, Shuma Gedol, the Kohen, Meisr Rishon, Levi, Div Rabbi Akiva, Krablazar ben Azariah, Omer, Meisr Rishon, Af, the Kohen, that you can give Meisr Rishon to a Kohen also. Now there's a discussion over here. What does this mean? Tosla says, the Lo Kapir Shakuntras, the Polig Basar, the Kansinu Ezra. Right? The Rashbam understands that this Machlokas, Rikim, Krablazar ben Azariah, is after Ezra. Made a call that everyone should go back to Eretz Yisrael, and the Levim didn't go. So Ezra made a knas that Levim are no longer entitled to Meisr Rishon. So that's the machlokas over here between. That's how the Rashbam understood the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That Rabbi Akiva holds Meisr Rishon goes to a Levi. You're still allowed to give Meisr Rishon to a Levi even after the knas that Ezra made. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no. Meisr Rishon goes to a Kohen after the knas that Ezra made. Right? It can even go to a Kohen, not only to a Levi. That the knas was that it can even go to a Kohen. Says Rashbam, he doesn't think that that's correct. This is going even before the knas. He's saying this machlok is on a daraisa level, whether a Kohen can ever be entitled to Meisr Rishon. After the knas, the issue is that a Levi is not even allowed to get it. On a daraisa level, a Kohen might also be entitled to it. After the knas, a Levi is not even allowed to get it. Okay, it's a big discussion. One more line. V'dilma bikurim ninu bo kriya. Maybe it's bikurim and it requires kriya, because you need to read the parsha of bikurim. So kriya lo ma'akevis. No, don't worry about that. The parsha of bikurim is not ma'akev. And tomorrow, we'll discuss the follow-up question. Kol ha'roel bilein bilein ma'akevis bo. Shema kasugiyah.